Let the church say amen again. Amen. Truly, we are thankful to be in the presence of God Almighty. And we're thankful to be able to stand before you and share with you those things that we know and believe concerning the Word of God. Amen. I am homegrown. Back probably about 62 years ago, I obeyed the gospel under the leadership of Brother D.A. Stroud. I was in the little kids' choir with Sister Blackshear, and I was in the Sunday school classes with Sister Flowers, and so we go way back. Amen. Florida and I was in the same Sunday school class, and we used to just run around the grounds here at Highland Heights. And so you see what God can do. Amen. If we just stay with the Lord. Amen. I've been married be 51 years. Amen. 51 years to the same lady. And 50 consecutive years. Amen. And so we are just glad that God has blessed us to be married for 51 years. Amen. April will be 51 years of marriage. Amen. And from that union, we have 19 grand, 18 great grand, and one great grand on the way. And so God is truly good to us, and we're just glad to be in his presence this morning. As Brother Stroud says, that he and I have a great relationship. Now, he didn't tell you the whole story, but when I was getting ready to make the transition from the Barrett Station Church of Christ, I called him and I told him, I said, well, Brother Stroud, I'm getting ready to transition, and I didn't leave because there was any problems or anything. It was just an opportunity for me to get closer within the city. And so I called him and I said, I would like for you to consider being the minister at the Barrett Station Church of Christ. And he said, I'd call you back. I'll think about it. And that should show you the confidence that I have in the fine minister that serves here at the Highland Heights Church of Christ. And so we want to thank him for the invite this morning, and we appreciate you too as well for having us over to be a part of your worship service this morning. Amen. You know that song, I'll Have a New Life? I remember as a boy when Sister Azalee and Sister Sarah and my mom and Sister Alberta Roberts, they all used to be singing that song. And that alto section was something else. I'll have a new body. I mean, they would be loud. And so I'll always remember those days here at the Highland Heights Church of Christ, all of the miles and the sales. And we were all just like one big happy family. You know, I wish the church was still like that today. I mean, we would just really, really enjoy coming and being together on a Sunday morning or having a tent meeting. We would just be waiting for a three-week tent meeting. But now we only have three-day tent meetings. But we used to have 3 weeks of meetings. But I'm just glad to be here this morning. I'm glad to be here this morning. I want to invite your attention to our lesson text this morning, taken from Matthew chapter 6 and the verses 33. I want to use for our subject this morning a simple change. A simple change. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness.
And all these
now he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he says, all of these things will be added unto you. But all you have to do is make a simple change. Amen. And sometimes it's hard to make a simple change. But when you look at the word seek in the Hebrews, it means to search out by any means, which means that we have to investigate. We have to interrogate. We have to search out by any means necessary. Not necessarily a physical object, but a spiritual object. We need to make sure that we understand that when we seek the Lord, we seek him by any means necessary. Not only that, but if you seek the Lord and you find him, you will understand how good God really is. You have to search. Have you ever lost something and you tried to find it? You really put forth an effort to find the thing that you are searching for. And I believe this morning that each of us ought to have the desire to seek the Lord. Amen. Get for me Jeremiah chapter 29 and the verses number 13. And let's listen at what the Bible says. The Bible says, you will seek me and find me. And when you find me, you will seek me with all of your heart. That means when you seek the Lord, you have to seek him with everything that you have. Now, what do I have to do to seek the Lord? Well, the Bible tells me in 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, study to show thyself approved. A workman needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now we must understand if there's a right way to divide it, a right way to divide the truth, there's a wrong way.
Amen.
And some of us have divided the truth the wrong way.
Amen.
Make sure when you seek the Lord that you inquire, that you investigate, that you look into the scriptures to seek him with all of your heart. Now, when I seek him and after I study the word of God, what am I looking for? What am I trying to find? I'm trying to find out who it is that I'm seeking. And what am I seeking him for? Well, there's always a purpose in seeking the word of God. When you seek the word of God, you need to know that you're seeking to make a simple change. What do I do to make that simple change? Well, go with me to the book of Acts. The chapter is 2 and the verse is number 38. The Bible says,
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized.
Repent and be baptized, every one of you.
In the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of your sins.
Now, if you go up to verse 37, they ask him, what shall we do? Well, that's exactly what Peter wanted them to ask. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, which includes all of us.
Amen.
And so in order to make that simple change, that means you have to be willing to turn around. Turn from those things that you're doing. Have you ever had to make a turn in your life?
Yes.
Well, I have. I've had to make a turn in my life, but I had to be willing to repent. And even if you're baptized already and you're not living according to the scripture, you ought to be willing to make a simple change. By repentance, by confession, and prayer. And once you make that turn, you ought to be willing to do what God would have you to do. Now, let me tell you something. All of us that are in here, we're trying to get to heaven. But I want you to know that everyone that's talking about heaven ain't going. I know that's the truth because the Bible says in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So once you make that turn and you get into the body of Christ, and you understand what you just understood about your reading of the scripture. Well, what am I trying to understand? Well, I'm trying to understand how he died, how he was buried, and how he rose again on the third day for the sins of the world. And when he rose, he got up with all power in his hand. Now, we need to make sure we understand that there's no power in our hands. When we come to serve God, we ought to come to serve God knowing that he is all powerful and everything is in his hand. I believe we have gotten away from understanding the power of God. When we come to church to serve, there should be no other reason that we come but to learn more about our Lord. Now I want you to go with me to Romans 12, the verses of 1 and 2. We're talking about making a simple change. When you make that change, you have to turn away from some things. You know, I think about my life. God has truly been good. I've not always been a preacher. And the first thing for me making a simple change was to recognize and acknowledge that I had some sin in my life. But when we don't acknowledge that we are walking contrary to the will of God, we're not going to ever fix it because we think everything is all right. Well, let me help you. If I have a drinking problem, or whatever my problem is, if I don't acknowledge that I have that problem, I'm not going to ever fix it because I think everything is all right.
Facts.
And so we have to be willing to make a simple change. And that simple change is to desire serving and worshiping God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, the Bible says what?
I beseech you therefore, brethren.
And see, here's Paul, he's saying, I beg you, brothers.
By the mercy
of God.
Hold
on, I'm not through with beg. I beg you. In other words, I'm really, really stressing the importance of you changing your ways. As a boy, my mother was so concerned about the lifestyle that I was living. And she literally begged me to change your ways. She said, son, I'm really, really begging you to change your ways. Because if you don't change, there's only two places that you're going to end up. The penitentiary or the graveyard. Okay, well, y'all can sit out there like y'all ain't never did nothing wrong. Huh. But everybody in here got a story they can tell.
Come on. Come on.
All of y'all have been to the bone shakers or silks. Yeah. You might as well tell the truth. And you know what? When I was going to the bone shakers, guess what? I wanted to be on time. I wanted to get there early so I could get a seat close to the stage. You know, that same thing, kind of like Paul. Paul was at one time the chief of sinners, but he became the greatest apostle ever. Amen. When I changed my ways, I wanted to be on time for service. Just like I laid out my clothes for a happy hour, I laid my clothes out for the happy hour.
Yeah.
This is the most happy hour that I've ever had in my life. So we ought to want to make a simple change. Don't come to church playing church. Make sure that you get your life in order, because it ain't going to be too long. And I know ain't good grammar, but it's good communication. It ain't going to be very long that life is going to be over. Well, how do you know that? Because James says that life is but a vapor. And it appears for a little while, and it vanishes away. So we got to be willing to make that simple change. Romans 12 says what?
I beseech you therefore, brethren.
I beg you, brothers.
By the mercies of God. That you present your bodies
as a living sacrifice.
Holy
and acceptable
unto God. Your reasonable service.
Which is your reasonable service. It's just your reasonable service. Read.
And be not conformed.
And then he says, be not conformed to this world,
but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may prove
what is that good
and acceptable
and perfect will of God. Listen, let me tell you something. If you change the mind, you change the man. Amen. If you change the man, you change the woman.
Amen.
And so he says, be not conformed, but be transformed. Amen. You know, once you're baptized into Christ, you have been crucified. And so because Christ was crucified, we are cruciformed. Which means that we don't do the things that we used to do. Mm-hmm. We are changed now because we are now in Christ. That's why Paul said, it is not I that live, but it is Christ that liveth in me. Now don't forget that liveth. That E-T-H means that he continues to live in me. Amen. Not just on Sunday, but every day of the week. He liveth in me. And so people in the world ought to see Christ in your life.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I like for people to know that I'm a child of God.
Me too.
I don't walk around with a Bible under my arm, but I walk around with Christ in my life.
Amen.
People ought to be able to see that in your life. Those of you who are really striving to be Christians, have you ever had someone walk up to you and say, are you a Christian? Mm-hmm. It was simply because of your mannerism. It was simply because of the way you carried yourself. And so as God's people, we need to make sure that we're not conformed to the world. The body of Christ, we are conforming to the world. There are things going on in the body of Christ that God is not pleased with. And I believe those individuals who are doing those things ought to make a simple change. They need to go back to the basics and teach the doctrine of Christ. I don't know about you, but I just believe that God wants his children to be obedient to his word. Not only that, but listen at Hebrews 12 and verse number 1. The Bible says what? Listen, while he's trying to get there, we have to put away some things. We have to turn away some things. Because some of the things that we do in life, it weighs us down. It hinders us from moving forward. Have you ever seen an athlete, a track athlete? They have on the lightest attire ever. Because they don't want anything to hold them back. The Bible says what? In Hebrews 12.
Wherefore seeing we also are.
Now therefore is there for what was before in this previous scripture. He says therefore.
Seeing we are also are compassed about.
Seeing that we're also compassed about.
With so great a cloud of witnesses.
With so great a cloud of witnesses.
Let us lay aside.
Let us. Not just let me. But let us.
Lay aside
every weight and every sin which doth so easily beset us.
And let us run with patience.
And then he goes on to say, and let us run
with patience. The race that is set before us.
The race that is set before us. Look into Jesus, who is the author
and finisher.
And the finisher
of
our faith.
Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross.
Listen, we have to lay aside some things.
Amen.
You have to lay aside pride, because pride comes before the fall. Sometimes we are too proud to forgive one another. Well, I'm going to preach because I may not get back, but I'm going to tell you the truth today. Some of you in here today have a problem with some of your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
You need to lay that aside. That's a weight.
Amen.
That's going to hinder you from serving God the way you should.
Amen.
Well, Sister Hill is in there over the food. I don't want to work with her. That's a hindrance.
Amen.
I'm using Sister Hill because she's just like my mother. And I don't know nobody else in this, so I don't want to make nobody mad. Yeah. But if you can't work with Sister Hill, you got a problem. And that's a problem you need to work on. We have to work together. The Bible says that we ought to be fitly joined together. And so when you got a problem with your brother or your sister, the Bible says if you got a problem, go to him.
That's what it says.
But now if you don't know how to go to him, go to the preacher and let him handle it. But you got to learn to love your brothers and sisters. That's one thing my mother taught us to do, is to love each other. And if you love God, it's easy to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me tell you another thing. If you can't love down here, don't worry about getting up there. Because God is not the author of confusion. He is the author of peace. God ain't gonna have no mess up there. Well, yeah, we might well tell the truth. Some of us is messy.
Yeah, it is.
I'm here to try to tell you and try to help you. And we're talking about a simple change. If you want the congregation here at Highland Heights to grow, you're going to have to work together in love. Put all the little stuff, you know. I think the Bible says when I was a child, I spoke like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. We still got some childish folk in the church, 80 years old. I just use 80 so you can go down. We got to put away childish things. We got to love and support one another. And I'll tell them at Fidelity, sometime we might pass the basket and we might say, Sister Stroud just lost her job and things are not going well with her. And those of you who don't love Sister Stroud, you don't put nothing in. But if I say, Sister Fletcher, everything burned down, you just dropping every penny you got in the basket. We have to love one another. In order for the body of Christ to grow, that's a simple change. When the invitation is extended, if you know that you have not laid aside the weight, you need to stand and repent and make a simple change and get your life back in order with God. Let me tell you something. One thing about me, I believe if you're going to be a preacher, I think you need to live it before you preach it. And if you can't live it, don't preach it. If you're a Christian, live like a Christian. I preached a sermon a while back. If you're going out of business, take your sign down. Have you ever went to a place and it was out of business? They took their sign down. Some of us, as God's people, need to take our sign down. Because our lifestyle shows us that we've gone out of business. Okay, I ain't getting no amen.
You all day.
But it's the truth anyway. We got to exemplify Christ in our lives. Not only that, but I want you to get for me 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know, when you obey the gospel, those of you, most of us are in the body of Christ, when you obey the gospel, you need to recognize that you become a new person. I don't know about you, but if I get a new suit, I walk different. New shoes, I walk different. Y'all stay with me because I'm trying to make a point here.
Yeah.
When you become a new creature, you ought to walk different. You ought to talk different. Places you used to go, you ought not go no more. And I know I said no more, but it's no more. But I'm talking to God's people.
You are. You are.
Listen. Have you ever got a new car? You know, when you was driving that hoopty, you drive up beside people, you don't even look their way. Because your car's smoking and it's rattling and tinkling. You don't even look their way. But when you get a new car, you pull up beside them and you look over there. You just want to see if they see your new car. You know, that's how we ought to be as Christians. We ought to look to the side and see if people in Walmart see the way I walk and the way I talk. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Therefore, if any man.
Now listen, he says, if any man.
Be in
hold up. If any man. Drunk man. Crackhead man. Don't make no difference what kind of man it is. If any man be in Christ. If he's changed his life, he is a new creature.
Amen.
And then he says, all things
are
passed away,
and behold,
all things
are become new.
Have become new. I don't know about you, but I just have a new way of walking and a new way of talking because I'm a new creature in Christ. We got to change our ways. Let me tell you something. I just got to say this because sometimes when people become members of the church, or you have a member that has fallen away and strayed for a while, and they come back and change their life, you're always trying to hold that thing over their head. Mm-mm. See, some things you've done that we just don't know about that we could hold over your head if we knew. But the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So whatever he did before he became a member of the body of Christ, it's no longer over his head. Listen, there was a young man who obeyed the gospel. Well, he was married. But he was not, he or his wife were not members of the body of Christ. He obeyed the gospel, remarried, became a child of God. And they were still trying to hold that old marriage against him. That marriage did not take place while he was a member of the body of Christ. Let me tell you, now if you're going to hold that against him, what's the reason for him getting baptized? Okay. Yeah, somebody tell me. If you're going to continue to hold things against me that was going on in my life before I became a member, what sense does it make for me to get baptized if it ain't washed away? Think about what I'm saying. You got to let it go and let God. Person decides in their mind that they want to be a member of that blood-bought institution. They become a member of the body of Christ, and now you're holding on to what he used to do. You know, the Bible says such was some of you. That's what kind of bothered me with church folk. When you're up here preaching, they act like they ain't done nothing. They ain't never had no time in their life that they did something that they shouldn't have done. I've been on this earth too long to know that everybody have fallen short. Romans 6:23 say, for we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have a walk contrary to the will of God sometime or another.
Amen.
But how do you like me now? Yeah, that's what I used to do. And you know, I have some guys in here went to school with me. They know what I used to do. But I want to ask them this morning, how you like me now? That's what we, right now is what we ought to be concerned about. The life that I now live in Christ. I hate to keep picking on Sister Sarah, but and I love her to death.
We do.
But let me tell you something. Bless her heart. She done something down the road somewhere. If it wasn't nothing but didn't like somebody, something. But how you like her now?
Amen.
We continue to keep our minds fixed on the past. That's why we can't make a simple change. Not only that, but I want you to get for me Ephesians chapter 2. The verses are 8 and 9. You know, I'm glad to be a child of God.
Amen.
Like the young people say this, I'm living my best life. I'm living my best life. When you can live a life where you don't have to look over your shoulder, when you can pull up beside the police knowing you got car insurance, y'all don't understand.
Yeah, I do.
Sometimes when in those days, I used to just kind of lag back and wait till the light changed so I wouldn't get up beside him. Because I know I didn't have insurance. And I may have had something in the car that I wasn't supposed to have in the car. And I know some of y'all say, I wonder what it had. Ain't none of your business. And sometimes some of y'all right now driving around with stuff in the car, you ain't got no business. Uh-oh. Well, if you do, if you are, you need to make a simple change.
That's it.
Today is the opportunity for you to make that simple change. Now, I don't know how long y'all hold morning service, but I don't want to give you too much, but I don't want not to give you enough.
We'll keep preaching.
So, you know, some of y'all say, "You just glad because you know I'm talking about you." Well, okay. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9.
For by grace are ye saved through faith.
See, once you are baptized in the water, you're saved by grace. You know, salvation is in 3 tenses. Maybe one of these Sundays I'll come back and tell you that. But let me tell you something. You're saved by grace right now. But you're going to have to stand before God in the day of judgment to find out if you're saved eternally. And one thing about that grace, you can fall away from grace. You can fall away from grace and find yourself living in sin. The Bible says,
"For by grace are you saved?"
For by grace are you saved?
"And that not of yourselves."
Not of yourselves.
"It is the gift of God."
It is the gift of God.
"Not of works."
Not of works.
"Lest any man should boast."
Look, I don't care how much you do around here in Holland Heights. If your life ain't in tune with the word of God, you're not going to be saved. Saved you'll never be. If you're walking around every Sunday instead of trying to find something to do, you're looking for somebody to talk about. Y'all kind of like Fidelity. Look like y'all don't want to say amen when the truth being told. But we got to change our life. I know everybody in here want to get to heaven. Well, let me tell you something. As a Christian, you just can't do what you want to do. You're married to Christ. You belong to Christ. You're his. You don't belong to yourself. You know, I tell people, Sister Fletcher and I got married way back in 1973. I don't know what it costs now, but it cost $5 back then. She belongs to me. Because I bought her with a price. Christ bought us with a price. He gave his blood on Calvary for you and me. He paid a cost that he didn't own for you and for me. And we need to be a member of that church that he bought with a price. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. Well, you can go a verse above that. I want you to read probably 15 on down. Read.
He said unto them. But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ.
The Son of the living God.
And Jesus answered.
Jesus said unto him.
Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
Stop right there. For flesh and blood did not reveal this unto me, but my Father. Now, for those of you who are not members of the body of church, we need to let you know there's only one church. And that's the church of Christ. He said, this was not revealed unto me by flesh and blood, but by my Father. Now, let me deal with my for a minute. If I tell you that's my wife, I'm talking about one wife. My is a possessive pronoun showing ownership. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. That's my wife. That means one wife. Christ was talking about one church. Amen. Go on to read it.
And I say unto thee, Thou art Peter.
I say unto thee that thou art Peter.
Upon this rock I will build my church.
There go that word again, my. My Father means one Father. My church means one church. I don't know how you missed that. Now, if you missed that, don't you drive home. You ask me for a ride, I'll take you. If my Father means one Father, my church means one church. Mm-hmm. Acts 4:11 and 12. The Bible says, this is the stone that was set in order you builders, which have become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. Now listen, if any church would do, why would he say neither is there salvation in any other? There is none other name under the heavens given among men whereby you must be saved. If any church would do, well, let me help you like this. Let me find somebody. Okay, Brother Stroud, Mary. If any church would do, any wife would do, because the church is the bride of Christ. So if any wife will do, when I leave today, I'm going to take your wife, I'm going to take her, I don't know her first name, but I'm going to take her with me. If any church will do, any wife will do. Brother, I done got off of that. Brother Stroud still hollering, no, sir. No, sir. No, sir. I got it, Brother Stroud. I'm trying to get everybody in the audience to get it. If any church won't do, any wife won't do. Because the church is the bride of Christ. Amen. That's his wife. And you know what? He didn't have but one wife, one church. Amen. If I'd have walked in here this morning and I'd have had Sister Fletcher and another lady with me, and I said, these are my wives, ain't no doubt in my mind that Brother Stroud would have said, brother, you're not preaching this morning. Now, if he didn't tell me that, y'all need to get another preacher.
Amen.
Man come in with two wives, he's sure doing the wrong thing.
Amen.
I'm trying to make this as simple as I can make it. There is only one church where salvation is. Hey, get for me Colossians 1:24. You have to understand that the church is the body and the body is the church. And there is but one body. Ephesians 4 says there's one Lord, one faith. It says one body, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. All of those are ones. And you know what? They don't have no problem with the one baptism and the one Lord, but you got a problem with the one church and one faith. You got a problem with the one faith. Have people ever come up to tell you, well, this is my faith? Well, my problem is, how you gonna have a faith and I got a faith when the Bible says there is but one faith? Are y'all with me?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says one Lord, one faith. So how am I? I'm talking about it. If you don't understand that, if you're not in that one body, you need to make a simple change this morning.
Amen.
Y'all think I'd have forgot Colossians 1:24, but I haven't. Read Colossians 1:24. Now I want you to pay attention to the passage.
Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you.
Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. We are enjoying the suffering of Christ. Because of his suffering, we are now members of the body of Christ. Read.
And fill up that which is behind.
And fill up that which is behind.
Of the afflictions of Christ.
Of the afflictions of Christ.
In my flesh.
In my flesh.
For his body's sake.
Now this is what I want you to hear. For his body's sake.
Which is the church.
Which is the church.
Amen.
And the Bible is right.
Yeah.
The body is the church, and the church is the body.
Amen.
Somebody here this morning ought to want to become a member of that one body.
Amen.
You ought to want to be a child of God. You ought to want to make that simple change this morning so that you can walk in the newness of life. Well, how do I do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. You've heard the word. You need to believe that. You need to repent of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be willing to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins.
Amen.
Come up a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. You know, people always say, well, you know, the water don't save. Well, let me tell you something. You stop drinking water. We know the water don't save. You remember Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5? When God told him to go down to the murky Jordan?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he asked, what's wrong with all of these other rivers of Damascus? What's wrong with the Pharpar River? What's wrong with all of these other waters? You know, Naaman went away in a rage. You know, some people are not members of the body of Christ. If you're in here, don't go away in a rage.
Amen.
Naaman went away in a rage. What one of the messengers told him, what God had said to him. He said, I want you to dip 7 times. When Naaman made his mind up to do what God had told him or commanded him to do, his leprosy was healed. It wasn't the water that healed him, but it was his obedience to God.
Amen.
that saved him. And God says that we ought to be baptized in water. Get 1 Peter 3:21, and I'm going to close. 1 Peter 3:21, the Bible says what? You know, I'm a Bible preacher. I like to read it from the Bible. The Bible says what?
The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us.
Baptism doth now save us. All of us. You just can't lay your hand on the Bible. Heard somebody on the radio say, you just pray this prayer with me. And when you pray this prayer with me, now you're a member of the body. No, my Bible tells me that I have to be baptized. And baptized is being immersed into the water. You go down in the water. I don't know if you ever seen it, but when people get baptized, the preachers are looking over in there. They want to make sure that the whole body is buried in water. If you go to a graveyard and somebody's toe is sticking up, he ain't buried. A burial is something that you are immersed in, that you are buried down in the water. And when you come up that new creature, ready to walk in the newness of life. Things you used to do, you don't do those things anymore. The places you used to go, you don't go to those places anymore. And the companions that you used to walk with, you don't walk with them no more. How do I know that? Psalm said, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He said, but I want you to meditate on his word both day and night. You know, if you start standing with them, after a while you'll take a seat with them. Amen. Now you've gotten comfortable. I don't know about you, but when I get home today and I take a seat, I'm sitting there to get comfortable. So we got to be careful who we stand with before we get comfortable and take a seat with them. If you're here this morning, I hope you've gotten something from the message. And I hope that you're ready this morning to make a simple change. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Don't worry about what nobody says. You got to save your own soul. If you're falling by the wayside, stand up. Ask the church to pray for you and God to forgive you. And you have a brand new opportunity to make heaven your home. For the Bible says, if you die in your sin, where I am, you cannot come. Amen. If this be your decision, we beg you to come as we stand and sing the song of invitation. Amen. Wending from the fold of God, hear you now the invitation. Unprepared to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh careless. Won't you come this morning? He said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find some rest for your soul. Won't you come this morning? God is calling you, don't be ashamed. Once you come, God is calling you. You still have time, don't be ashamed. Why don't you come this morning and make that simple change in your life? Once you come, oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless, oh careless soul, he thy one and for your life. Oh, will soon be gone. Won't you come? He's calling you this morning. Unprepared to meet thy God. Won't you come? You still have time. Sing the chorus one more time, sir. Careless soul, heed thy warning. Won't you come? Don't be ashamed and don't be afraid. Don't you want to make that simple change this morning? To face thy judgment and prepare to meet thy God. Thank you so much for your presence this morning. We hope and trust that you'll continue to pray for me, that I might continue to live the life that God would have me to live, and that I might always be an example to those that I lead. May God bless you and keep you.